Marriages can be spooky. They can be haunted. They can be monstrous. At this spooky time of year, I ask, are you in a monster marriage? Hey, this is Lee Balcom. I want to take a light approach to a very serious issue. And this is the time of year when I just feel like it, you know, there's that deepening place within us. On Monday, I was out for a trail run, and it was beautiful. The leaves were so vibrant and colorful. And then we had a storm. And then I was out today running, and the trees were almost like they were haunted as they were empty of leaves. And as I crunched along on the trail, I could hear myself. And even when I heard just a squirrel off to the side, it sounded like a bear was coming after me. It's just that time of year when it's a little bit more spooky, a little bit more feeling of dread and of awe. And as we approach this Halloween, then we also remember that this holiday came as people believed that there was a closer place between the spirit world and this world, the material world. And while you may or may not believe that, I certainly believe that there is a closer place between our deeper psychology and our regular life. And so we feel things deeper and we are aware of things deeper. And so I want to take this opportunity to talk about the ways that marriages become haunted, the way that marriages become monsters. And I do think that there are ways to get back away from a monster marriage. So we want to talk about that too. So join me as we talk this season about the ways you might be in a monster marriage and how to be aware of the marriage monsters. A couple of years ago, I began to think about how these marriages become infected with something. And I talked a couple of Halloweens ago about the zombie marriage. And that got a lot of positive feedback because it helped people kind of put some frames on what was going on in their marriage. And so instead of just the zombie marriage, what I realized is that our marriages can be monsters in several different ways. So let's talk first about what I mean by the zombie marriage. The zombie marriage is when it's the walking dead. You may be familiar with that place where you just watch the people kind of pass each other. You know, they see each other, pass each other in the hall, and they look at each other, and the most you might get is as they walk on by. It's as if there's no life there anymore. The marriage has lost its life. And when that happens, there is just no more life for the couples in that marriage. The life has just left the marriage, maybe because out of neglect, or maybe because out of avoidance. Maybe there's something that neither one want to acknowledge. And sometimes it's just that people have gotten through the place where they're just going through the motions. Now, I noticed this years ago that it kind of highlighted for me. And the reason was because I was at a conference. Here I was at this conference where everybody there was trying to pursue their passions in life. And this conference happened to be, unfortunately, held in Las Vegas. And so we were staying at a hotel, and as every hotel does in Las Vegas, this one had a casino. And as every hotel does, they design it so you must walk through the casino. And as every casino is designed, it blocks out all the light from the outside world, so you don't know what's going on the outside. It's as if it's its own little world. And every time I went to a meeting, I had to pass through there. The first couple of times, I was just finding my way through that area, but pretty quickly, I found my way automatically, and so it wasn't a big deal to cross through, but I began to notice the people, and the people who were at the slot machines were just pulling down on the lever, smoking on a cigarette, drinking a drink, and throwing more coins in. I didn't see the happy faces that were on the advertising. All I saw were the faces of people who were stuck going through the motions. I sat down, and the poor person who was sitting beside me, I'd only met one time before in this conference, and I turned to him and I said, "Hey, do you believe in zombies?" And he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "I mean, do you really believe in zombies, that there might be such a thing as zombies?" And he said, "No, of course I don't." I said, "Well, I do, because I just saw them out there. There's a whole group of zombies that have invaded this hotel, and they're staying in the casino." And so there I was watching people in this room come to life with light in their eyes, with life in their eyes, looking for the passions in their life, looking for the places where they can make an impact in the world. but we had to cross through the zombie-infected world of that casino. And I began to think then about how that happens in marriages, where pretty quickly people can get to that place where all you get is the grunt as they pass each other. And sometimes you even get the place where they just bite off each other, just went out of frustration and anger and resentment. And so the first monster of a marriage that I often see are the zombie marriages. And you can tell that if you're in one of those where you're just passing each other, you're kind of walking through, not really showing up, not really being present with each other, just kind of the walking dead. If that's you, we're going to talk about some things you can do to get out of that in just a minute. But let's talk about the other monsters. The second monsters are the Frankenstein monster marriages. Now, the Frankenstein monster marriages usually come because people have put together these borrowed parts. What happens is they pull a piece from here and pull a piece from there. Maybe they saw a friend and how they act in their marriage, or at least what they see of how they act in their marriage. And then they remember how their parents did it, maybe how their grandparents did it, and maybe how somebody told them along the way you do a marriage. And they pull these pieces together, but they're only stitching them together because it's not theirs. It's borrowed pieces. And here's the problem. They never knew what they were trying for. They never knew what their real goal was. And so they created this monster in best of intentions. The best of intentions were to create this new entity, this new thing that would have life, that would do something. And instead, all they get is this place of a wandering monster that has ideas from here and there that really don't fit together very well, no clear understanding of direction, and just wanders the countryside doing destructive things without really recognizing that it's doing destructive things just because it's bumping into things. Really not a whole lot of soul to these kinds of marriages. Not a whole lot of depth to them because they've never figured out what it is they are bringing, what it is they are doing. There's no real clear understanding of what this marriage is about. Also, there's no real focus. They just don't know what they're trying to do. You know, they decided they loved each other. They decided they wanted to patch this together. And so they started their marriage, but they didn't really understand what they were trying to get to. And so when that happens, they're not going to get anywhere in particular. If you don't know where you're headed, you're likely not to ever get there. Now, there is another kind of monster marriage, and that's the mummy marriage. The mummy marriage is when the people keep unearthing bodies from the past. And unfortunately, all they do is let them roam around the relationship. Now, these mummies from the past really are usually from last hurts, old battles, old problems, old issues. And they kind of have this haunting place because they've not been finished. They've not been set to rest. They've not been allowed to rest in peace. And so these pieces keep emerging. And they keep coming out. And what's interesting is that mummies never come on the scene until somebody digs them up. There's a conscious effort to pull them out, to unearth them, to find something else, because there is somehow some belief that there's something to be discovered in that. And instead of finding a way to bring it to a pause, to bring it to resolution, those old mummies are allowed to wreak havoc and cause pain and hurt. But what you almost always find underneath it all is there's nothing but dust. There's really nothing underneath there that's beneficial, nothing helpful, nothing that comes from that digging out and unearthing. The archaeology digs that produce those mummies really never get a couple anywhere new. They just keep them trapped in a past. Not only that, they keep them trapped in an imagined past, a recreated past, because it's based on what they pretended happened or believe that happened. I'm not saying it's out of ill intention. But our memories are imperfect, and so we bring in our own slant to that. And when we do, the mummies we unearth have no similarity to the person that was buried long ago. And as I said earlier, underneath it all, underneath all the wraps that give it form and function, it's just dust. There's nothing else there but dust. And then there are the vampire monster marriages. You know what vampires do, right? They suck the life out of their victims. And that's what happens in a vampire marriage. They just suck the life out of each other. And here's why. It's not out of bad intentions, but they never realized that they needed to get out of one frame. And that frame is the, it's all about me. So instead of blah, 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 it's me, me, me. What can I get? And what happens is after they suck the blood out of each other, they begin to suck the blood out of other people. They find other places to do it. And maybe the kids begin to be the substitute, and maybe friends get to be the substitute. Maybe work gets to be the substitute. And over time, what you notice is those who are in that vampire marriage never realized that this marriage was about something bigger than one or the other, and that what they were sucking out was the actual life of the marriage. Not sustenance for themselves, but what they needed to be putting into the relationship. And then there's one other monster marriage I want to talk about, and that's the werewolf. The werewolf marriage. By day, it looks very kind and loving, but inside is a vicious monster, ready for a trigger. When the full moon comes up, when it's triggered, out come the attacks. The fights become destructive. And then something interesting happens. After the fight has passed, the daylight comes up. They return to normal, and they act as if nothing had happened. In fact, they might not even have the memories, the full memories, of the damage that was done. But the villagers know. The other people around them know the damage that was done. Werewolves are all about vicious fighting and vicious tearing apart because they are trying to get what they want. Now, notice the common piece of all this, because there are some pieces that make sense on how you rebuild and escape these monster marriages. So let's talk first about some common themes that come out of these monsters. One is, if you're like me, you grew up on the monster movies of the old days when it wasn't just a kind of a slash and scare, but there was a plot line. There was a history to it. And there was always that person who knew how to deal with these monsters. Usually they came from somewhere else. Usually they were the expert somewhere else. But what you also notice is a lot of times, even those experts weren't the ones who actually did the slaying. The people who were involved, the people who were caught up in it, were the ones who were doing the slaying. And the reason they could do the slaying is because at some point, they figured out the weaknesses of those monsters. They figured out the truth of those monsters. They figured out some way of dealing with it. They became the monster slayers. And so what I'm inviting you to do is work towards being the marriage monster slayer. Now, let me remind you that even if your spouse isn't aware of the marriage monsters, in those movies, a lot of times it was only one person. And that one person was seeing that somebody else, somebody they loved, was being captured by the monster, was being brought into higher levels of being in that monster. And so the hauntings of the marriage, you can begin to work as you understand them, as you learn ways to deal with these monsters. You can bring them back from the edge of becoming a full-blown monster. You know, there's always that time where the person who's been bitten by the vampire has not quite yet become the vampire. And the person who's been bitten by the werewolf has not quite become that werewolf. And the person who has been taking under the spell of the mummy hasn't quite fallen completely into the prey of the mummy. And the person that the Frankenstein has grabbed hold of and is running havoc around still hasn't quite been injured, might have passed out, but still hasn't been injured. And then there's the one where the zombies haven't quite been able to infect it. Well, that's where you stand. Wherever you see these monsters in your marriage, and that really is what I wanted you to kind of think about, is what monster is your marriage? We all have places where we're not fully healthy, but where are the monsters in your marriage? And how do you want to tackle that? How do you want to address those places where your marriage is at risk of becoming a full-fledged monster? So let's talk some about how you do that. First, let's talk about the zombie marriage. The problem with a zombie marriage is somebody there is not showing up. In fact, usually both people aren't showing up. Now, what do I mean by showing up? Well, that's being present. You know, it's not hiding behind an iPhone or hiding in Facebook or not listening to a spouse when they're talking to you or kind of dragging through the door and deciding to give the family the scraps because you're too tired or maybe just doing that by default. Not showing up is when you allow your energy to go elsewhere. Not showing up is when you don't reserve some energy for the most important relationships in life. Not showing up is when you neglect those places where you know you need to step up. And that's how you deal with it. A zombie marriage is solved by showing up, by deciding that you're going to pay attention to those around you who are important, by deciding you're going to truly show up in life. Now, here's the little trick about that. Sometimes people, instead of being ready to show up are waiting for the other person to show up. This is not about waiting for somebody else to show up. This is about deciding you're not going to allow that infection to get you. You're not going to allow yourself to keep staying infected by that zombie virus. Instead, you're going to decide to show up. And it doesn't matter what the other person is doing. It doesn't matter what the people around you are doing. You're committed to showing up. That's the power of fighting back against the zombie marriage. And the thing is, you can decide to not act like that zombie everywhere in your life, anytime you choose to. It's fully in your control. Well, how about that Frankenstein monster marriage? Well, a Frankenstein monster marriage starts with the best of intentions. Nobody knows what a marriage is about. So we borrow here and there. We look at the movies. We look at our friends. We look at our parents. We look at our grandparents, our cousins, uncles, aunts, whoever you've noticed in a marriage. And you say, I'm either going to do it that way or I'm not going to do it that way. But there's something that you miss along the way. And this is, for me, the biggest miss in our culture in teaching about marriage. And that is that a marriage is about building a we, giving a soul to that structure. Yes, you're putting two beings together, right? You're putting two humans together, but not as a monster, as something bigger, as a team. And whenever we miss that, we end up pulling together pieces from here and there, trying to stitch it together, trying to bolt it together, trying to make it function. But until the soul gets put in there, it's just going to be a monster who's wandering around the meadow. The soul is recognizing that the goal of your marriage is to be a we. The goal of your marriage is not to be you and me, but to be we. Now, that doesn't mean you lose yourself to that relationship, but it means that you step into the relationship fully yourself. Remember, with that mummy, you've got to really show up and bring your best self into the relationship. So the Frankenstein marriage is combated by truly bringing yourself into it, by really showing up, and deciding you're also going to start working on being a we. Now, one of the things I hear from many people, they say, hey, wait, my spouse doesn't want to be a we. My spouse is not willing to step into this. It doesn't matter, because a lot of being a we starts in each individual's mind. When I start asking the question, what's best for our relationship? What's best for us? Then I begin to move towards that. When I treat our resources as our resources, right? When we start looking at money and other resources as ours, when we start seeing sex as being about becoming a we, of connecting with somebody at that level, of really being as close as you can be to physically a we at that moment, then we begin to move towards that place. When we decide to support each other and have each other's backs and work in that nature, and even if you decide to do that unilaterally, that you're going to take that on and you're going to move towards being a we, you start moving away from the Frankenstein monster and you start bringing in the soul of the relationship. You start restoring that to something new, something greater, something grander that will carry you both throughout your lives. So you fight the Frankenstein monster by realizing one simple truth. Marriage is about becoming a we, and then you follow up with your actions and your thoughts and your plans. Well, how about this mummy marriage? Well, mummy marriages are caused when you both are just trying to pull from the past. Maybe it's not even this relationship. You may be pulling from something that happened to you in your childhood, or something that happened to you with a former boyfriend or girlfriend, or something that happened in a former marriage, or something that happened in this marriage. And you keep undigging, right? You take it out of the ground and you look at it and you point to it and you do what I call the archaeology dig. You're not building anything. You're just looking around at the bones. Now, here's the interesting thing about archaeology. It's a great thing to discover what happened back there, or at least what we try to make sense of what happened and make some assumptions about what happened. But we don't have a perfect picture of that. Not only that, but it doesn't always give us a new place to go. It gives us new information, new understanding, and I'm not opposed to archaeology. I am opposed to the marriages that keep digging up the dead stuff, that keep looking at the old stuff. Here's the problem. Whenever we dig those bones up, they may be interesting, they may be curious, they may give us something to argue about, but it's still dead. It doesn't move us to where we want to get to. Whenever we're thinking about where we want to get to, that's about the future, down the road, what we want to build towards. Now, we obviously have to use our experiences to move us in that direction, but we can't be captivated and captured by what's happened. We've got to release that stuff. We've got to be willing to move forward and find a new thing, a new process, a new way of being with each other that's based on what do we want to build towards? Where are we headed? You never get further down the road staring at your rearview mirror. You get further down the road by planning where you want to get to, plotting your course, watching your GPS, having a roadmap, and getting to that new place. It's the same way you fight the mummy marriage. You aim, you find your direction, you head where you want to go, you forgive what's happened in the past, and you let go of those pains, and you quit digging them up at every turn. How about that vampire marriage? Well, notice that the vampire marriage has the same antidote that we found in the Frankenstein marriage, that we've got to decide that we are in this together. It's not about me, me, me. It's about we. We are a team. We're in this together. And whenever you're out looking for your needs, you're stuck. So what I often see when people are in difficult times is they've begun to give in order to get. They've begun to do things in order to get that back. In fact, over time, they stop even giving and only expect to get. It's very curious to me that when we get married because we want to show somebody we love them. And then we spend a lot of our marriage trying to prove that they love us, trying to get them to show that they love us, trying to get them to give us that energy instead of being willing to put that energy back in. Somewhere along the way, it switches off. Now, I'm not talking here about having a marriage where all you're doing is putting in. I'm talking about the dangers of the place when you're always pulling out, when you're always trying to get somebody to love you, trying to prove that they love you, trying to, everything you do is an aim at getting that back. So when you say, I love you, it's so they'll say, I love you. When you hug them, it's so they'll hug you back, rather than saying, I love you because you want to express that, and hugging them because you want to express that. And when we get to those places of really connecting, it's about what do we put into the relationship? How can we keep putting in all of that energy? What is destructive to a relationship is when we start keeping score. We may say, all I want is to make sure I'm getting my equal share, but we never keep score on a fair spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is always weighted in our favor. And so we may say we just want our fair share, but in reality, we're often missing what the other person is putting in. And how many times I've seen two people saying, I'm putting in everything. Don't I deserve something? And they're married to each other. They both are missing something about what the other person is putting in. So the antidote, the cross, the silver bullet, the magic formula that breaks down that vampire is to say, how can I put into the marriage, and how can I see what my spouse is putting into the marriage? How can I change that piece? And then there's the werewolf. The werewolf marriage is the one where they just fight bad. And it can look like everything's okay, but they go from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat. As soon as the moon begins to crest, as soon as something causes a rift between them, they begin to tear at each other. And the problem is that they've gone from acting as if everything's okay to releasing that monster inside, never finding a way to deal with what's not okay in the relationship. Fighting the werewolf is about finding ways of fighting fair. It's about finding ways of dealing with the hurts, finding ways of dealing with the pain, finding ways of forgiving that so that there is no monster in there, so that you relieve that without having to put that stake through the heart, right? So we find some ways of getting closer to each other by connecting and by sharing and by forgiving and by letting go and by stepping into each other. These are the ways you do that. Now, let me tell you one other piece of these great movies that I've seen over my life. There's always that expert from out of town. And that expert can give just enough advice to equip the people who are involved in the fight. And that may be where you are. You may say, wow, you know what? I've got a monster marriage, and I don't want to have that monster marriage. Well, I've spent some time being that expert of bringing in advice to people, giving people some structure on how to move away from that monster marriage. And I invite you to do that. The easiest way is to start with my Save the Marriage system. You can grab that at savethemarriage.com. And you can get started there. Now, if you're still wanting something else, you may want to check out my book, How to Save Your Marriage in 3 Simple Steps. You can find that at Amazon. And the easy way to get there, and you can get it in both Kindle and paperback, is to go to savethemarriage.com/book. That's savethemarriage.com/book. And if all of that is still a place where you say, you know what, I need some more handholding, I need some more help, I do offer direct coaching, and I also have a team of coaches that can work with you so that we can walk you through step by step through this process. I also have a virtual coaching program where you can, as part of a membership, get me to answer your questions and give you extra advice and training every single week. And when you do that, you find that you become equipped. You become the monster slayer. You find ways of reviving your marriage and bringing it back. As we are in the midst of this Halloween season, this haunted time, this spooky time, I just suggest that it's time to start fighting those marriage monsters. Bring your marriage back and find a way to save your marriage. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you fight off that monster marriage.